90.5 WKHS, you're now listening to Fan Cam with Peter and Andrew, where you get to hear two friends talk about sports from a fan's perspective.
Week by week, we will be discussing score predictions, breaking sports news, your very own Trojan sports, and your favorite big-time teams.
Join us every Thursday to hear us learn more about sports and give our spin on the modern-day sports talk show, right here on 90.5 WKHS. Welcome back, everybody, to Fan Cam Sports Talk Show, where two friends give their opinion on sports. I am Peter, your host, joined by my co-host, Andrew.
How's it going?
It's going good. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's great. We are back for some more sports. It seems like we are now back on a regular schedule, which means we are now one episode away from episode 20. So I think we went over, and it's been like we've been doing this for, what, 6 months, I think we said?
Yeah, I was pretty sure.
Doesn't even seem like it's been that long, but we're almost through the school year, like two more months, three more months, and we're done the school year. So went by really quickly. But with that being said, the spring is coming around. Spring sports have now started at Kent County High School as of March 1st. All of our spring sports, that's like track, baseball, softball, boys lacrosse, girls lacrosse, tennis, have all started. So it's nice to be back outside. The weather's been on our side for practices. Hasn't been awfully cold, but we do still have a couple of games going on. Andrew, can you take that away?
Yes. So on Monday, girls basketball hosted Colonel Richardson, and they won their first playoff game. And then on Tuesday, boys basketball traveled to Bone Manor. And the boys and girls basketball games, depending on results, will determine their next opponents. And also the state wrestling tournament is later this week.
Yeah, and we have two Kent County high schoolers going to states. We have Noah Iacona and Scotty Ford going to states. So hopefully they can do well. Scotty got second in regionals and Noah got fourth. So they both punched their ticket into states. So looking good for Kent County. We do have a lot of track athletes, too. RJ Peterson went to states for indoor track. So our outdoor track team is usually really good. So hopefully they can also head to states this year. And also our basketball team's looking like they might have a chance to go to states. But speaking of basketball, Andrew, do you want to take a look at our NBA predictions? I'm just going to throw some out real quick, and you can give me who you think's going to take it. Bulls Magic.
I'm going to go with the Bulls.
The Warriors and the Nets?
The Warriors.
We have the Pacers and the Hawks.
The Pacers.
76ers and the Celtics?
I think I might have to pick against my team here. I'll go with the Celtics.
The Rockets and the Pelicans?
I'll take the Rockets.
And probably the best game of the night, the Knicks versus the Lakers. Who do you have?
I'm going to go with the Lakers. They're on a big winning streak as of late, so I think they keep it up.
Yeah, I could definitely agree. And if they win that game, that puts them one more game ahead of the Nuggets as the 2 seed, while the Thunder are still sitting at the 1. Like I said, the Nuggets are at the 3. Our Grizzlies are at the 4, and our Rockets are at the 5 to round out our top 5. So pretty stagnant. Just a couple of notes that I feel like I should mention. After this Luka trade, the Lakers and the Mavericks were pretty even in the standings, but now the Lakers are a 2 seed and the Mavericks are a 10. So looking at the standings alone, it seems like the Lakers have definitely won the trade, which, I mean, everybody was saying that you can't trade a 25-year-old superstar and expect nothing less to pair him up with the greatest player of all time. But I feel like that's just a note we should put out there that, you know, it seems like the Lakers won this trade easily. Andrew, can you take a look at the East for us?
Yes. So the Cavaliers remain the number 1. The Celtics are at 2. The Knicks at 3. The Bucks at 4. And to round out the top 5 is the Indiana Pacers.
Thank you. Like I said, not much change in either conferences. When you do it week by week, you won't really see too much fluctuation, maybe one or two teams changing just because of how many games they play. And, you know, a lot of these teams have already started separating themselves as they get deeper into the season. There's only about 20 games left, so there's not much time for a lot of teams to make pushes, right? Like, if you're the Kings and you win, you know, all 20 games, you would still need the Thunder to lose 10 of those 20 next games that they play just to be tied with them. So it seems like there's already starting to become some separation there that are putting these teams above the rest. But switching over from the NBA to college basketball, we have Auburn at our one and Duke at our two, staying the same as they were, and Houston making a late push as they go up to three, Tennessee at four, and Florida at five to round out our top five, and also St. John's at six. This is the highest they've been ranked since the 1990-1991 season, so making St. John's look really good. But some other notable changes is Maryland is now 13th in the AP poll. Andrew, you're more of a Maryland fan than I am. How long has it been since you've seen your team this high ranked?
Well, 2 years ago, they did really well, and they kind of climbed the AP poll week by week because they kept on winning, and they were actually 13th. But before that was the COVID season when they were in the top 10 for most of the season. So it's good to see them finally get the respect they've deserved all season, and I'm glad they didn't put that Michigan State buzzer beater against them.
Yeah, definitely. And with the DMV being such a good place for basketball, seeing like Derek Queen, he grew up here, going to Maryland, hopefully it promotes teams to kind of stay at their like hometown schools and go to Maryland, because like I was saying, UMD is already a good school as it is. They just need the recruits. You know, it is hard trying to recruit against like the Dukes and the Auburns that have a whole lot of money, but if Maryland can get a lot of these DMV guys who are usually really gritty, willing to play defense, willing to dive on the floor for the ball, I definitely think it'll be good. But Andrew, I think the biggest dip is Texas A&M going down five from like a 20-point loss to Florida. I think Texas A&M was looking really good at during like the season, and especially having to play against such a tough SEC conference. I'm pretty sure the SEC has the most teams in the AP poll right now, and I think they're going to have the most teams in March. It just seems like, you know, the third or fourth best team in the SEC could probably compete for a one seed in a lot of these other conferences. So taking a look at that, I definitely think that Texas A&M took a big dip from that, but you know, playing Florida this late in the season when they've been on a roll is definitely difficult. But what are some other games that you saw this weekend that you liked the outcome of, or you just liked watching in general?
Well, obviously I mentioned the Michigan State-Maryland game. Although it wasn't the outcome I wanted, it was still a great game. It was a very big defensive game. Both teams battled it out, and it basically ended in a tie, because who thought Michigan State was going to hit a 60-foot buzzer beater at the end? But also, I'm very surprised that Michigan State stayed at 8. They beat us, and then they beat Wisconsin, who's at 12 this week. Like, they beat two top 15 teams last week, and they stayed at the 8. I feel like they're definitely a top 5 team in the country, because the week before, they beat Michigan, who's at 17 this week, and then they beat Purdue, who's at 18. So they've beat top 20 teams 4 weeks in a row, and they stay at the 8, so a little bit of surprise there, but I still think they're a great team and they can make noise in March.
Yeah, definitely. One of the games that I saw this weekend that I felt like I couldn't stop watching was Alabama and Tennessee. You know, you have two teams in the top 10 going back and forth. It's going to be a good game, but this one ended in another buzzer beater, having two buzzer beaters in the same weekend. It is now March, so anything can happen during these games. But Alabama now has to go and play Auburn again, so they definitely do not have an easy schedule to round out their season. So their AP poll might be tanking, but playing these tough teams late in the season can definitely help iron out any creases you have or fix those small bumps that teams might be facing. Like the Dukes that don't have much competition, they don't have the competition to find what's wrong with them, what's missing. So we'll definitely have to see. But with, like it's saying, March is here, which means not this weekend, but next weekend is Selection Sunday, which means we're going to have some teams make it in. We're going to have some teams who shouldn't make it in. And we'll probably have some teams who make it in who probably shouldn't. So taking a look at the bubble watch right now. We have the last four in Oklahoma, Indiana, Ohio State, and Texas. Do you see any teams here that you agree with? Maybe you don't. What are you thinking, Andrew?
I think that I'm a big Maryland fan, so I watch a lot of Big Ten. And I feel like Indiana's made a big push ever since their coach announced that he was resigning at the end of the season. And I feel like they've really started to find some momentum. They've won a lot of games. And I feel like Ohio State's kind of trending in a downward direction. They're beating teams to their level, but they're not beating the upper teams in the conference. So I feel like Indiana should definitely have a bye and not be the last four in, and maybe switch them with Nebraska, who's done really great. They went from losing six in a row to putting together five wins, but now they're back on that losing streak. So I feel like Indiana should be in the field more. But other than that, I feel like all the other teams are pretty solid.
Yeah, no, definitely. I do think that Ohio State has had some tough games early in the season. Early in the season, I would have said definitely not. They lost to Maryland by almost 40 points, lost to Auburn by almost 40 points in the same span of 2 weeks. So it was definitely looking like they shouldn't be in. But getting a win over a number four seeded Kentucky at like a neutral site too definitely helped them a lot. But these like smaller losses, like against Oregon, against Illinois, right? These are good teams, but like, you know, Nebraska, you probably shouldn't be losing to them in February when you're trying to make these pushes. Or, you know, Michigan, that was one that you needed to win. It was at Ohio. So trying to go against Michigan at Ohio, it seems like you should win every time. Or this Northwestern loss, it's looking not great for them, but I think they have two games left. Nebraska and Indiana, if they can win out those games, it'll probably solidify their spot for like a last four in. But I might rather see like a Georgia or an Xavier, who have been showing an upward trend and showing that they could be in. But taking a look at like our first four out, we have like Georgia, North Carolina, Boise State, and Xavier. What are some teams that you're seeing maybe out of these four teams that you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe they should be in or whatever?
Well, I like that you mentioned Georgia because they're in the SEC, which obviously is a very tough conference. There's a lot of teams that could go far in March. And I mean, when you have like the Alabamas, Auburns, Floridas, like a lot of teams in the top 10, it's really tough. So I feel like they've put together a couple wins, like they beat Florida. They've gotten wins against some tough teams in the SEC. So I feel like they should be in a little bit more and have a little bit more cushion. But I'm also very surprised that UNC's in the conversation of like being the last four out. I just think their chances of making the tournament are very slim, and I don't even think they should be in the conversation because, I mean, they haven't had a great season, and I just think there's so many other teams that are more deserving. But also, when you throw out that name, University of North Carolina, a lot of teams think about like the past and how good they were like even like 10 years ago. So I think there's a little bit of bias in those situations, but I feel like other teams are more deserving than UNC.
Yeah, definitely. And like you mentioned, Georgia having a tough conference in the month of February alone. Six out of their seven opponents that they had to play were top 25 teams. I don't think anybody else that is unranked is going against a schedule like that. And they're not doing bad in these games. They lost to Florida by six. They lost to Auburn by 10. Lost to Mizzou by 13. These are, you know, losses. Mississippi State by one. These are losses that if, you know, maybe they got a couple more rebounds. Maybe they made a couple more of their threes that rimmed in and out. These are losses that, you know, going later into March, they might fall, right? You have these neutral sites, so you're not playing to the crowd. You're playing, you know, you have some of your fans, you have some of their fans. You make a run, you're getting the energy from the crowd that you're probably looking for. So I would definitely say Georgia is a team to look out for. And like you said, I do think UNC, the bias, But I also wouldn't be surprised if UNC pulls off some miracle like they always do in March. But that will round out our show this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to keep up, you can go to fancam_talkshow on Instagram. Or if you want to listen to this episode again or any other episodes, you can head over to Fancam on all podcast platforms. But until then, we'll see you guys next week.